School days. Oh, no, wait. It's Saturday. That means it's time for the Beacon. Morning, and just think there's a lot of smiling mothers out there this weekend.
Oh, boy, and I am one of them.
It's school for the suburbs.
Bye, Felicia. It started last week. See ya.
You know what? See, you wouldn't want to be ya.
Wouldn't want to be ya.
But you can smile. You have a smile that goes from ear to ear.
I'll tell you what. This summer flew by.
Even though there wasn't much of one.
No, there wasn't. Gee. But, I mean, it's just like, I was thinking like mid-July. I was like, it was already a month ago that we went to Mexico. A month!
Right.
It felt like days. And now here we are, school starting. And again, I mean, you think about the last day of school, and it's like, could have been 3 days ago. And yeah, here we are, starting school again.
Right back again.
I know. You know? But
you're going to the stores in July, right around the time you were gone, and they had all the back to school stuff out. And then, like 2 weeks later, they had a clearance.
Oh, I know.
Of the back to. And let me ask you, why do stores put that stuff out now?
You know, I don't know.
And the teachers give a list, and you got to buy off that list.
Right. Right. I don't know. And you know what really also really chaps my hide is that, you know, they stock for seasonal clothing 2 months before the season starts, and they get rid of the current season clothing so that they can make room for the season. That's, and you know, in a place where, like California where I grew up, that's okay because the seasons are pretty mild year round. There's not a big variation in wardrobe. But here, a difference between a summer wardrobe and a fall wardrobe is huge.
Oh, you betcha.
I mean, it's huge. And so when I go to the store and I'm looking for something summery and I can't, or, you know, I had to go, Reese went to an overnight camp this summer. She went to Girl Scout camp and she had to have a rain poncho. It rains 75% of days in Chicago in the summer. There's not a rain poncho anywhere to be found, except in like the camping section. So I found a little emergency poncho for her in the camping section. But I was thinking I wanted to get her, you know, a cute raincoat.
No.
Nothing. Even though summer in Chicago consists primarily of rainy days.
A lot of them lately.
A lot of them.
Last couple of years.
Well. So anyway, that's my soapbox for the day.
So
I will step down now.
No, yes, she's going to have an interesting recipe for back to school.
I've got some back to school stuff. But back to school advice for school lunches.
Before that, though, Terry Longo is joining us.
Yes.
You remember Terry? He was the COO, the coup.
The coup.
At the Chicago Lighthouse.
Yes.
Well, right now he's the interim principal.
Right.
And he's got some information that that I think everybody will be interested in, especially if you have wee ones.
Little in BBBs. He's talking about the blended preschool program, which is open to all Chicago public school students ages 3 to 5. And there are actually openings still for the fall session. Mm-hmm. So, it'll be good because, you know what, as a mother of a 3-year-old, I can understand the pain of finding the appropriate placement for a little guy that age. So, you know, this is going to be a great program.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then they're building a solarium so that the chillins can be inside when it's snowing, like, you know what, in the wintertime. And they can look outside and they'll be nice and cozy.
That's so
and warm.
Where is that going to be?
Please.
Who knows?
We're making every use of this block.
Yeah.
Believe me, that's the campus of the Lighthouse.
Oh, it's going to be here at the Lighthouse.
It's right here at the Lighthouse.
Cool.
Yeah, right at this, right here.
I like it.
In this very corner.
That's a nice thought.
It's a nice thought.
Yeah.
And then you have a recipe.
I do. I'll be giving you some, well, not necessarily a recipe, but I'll be giving some tips on back to school lunches because I'll tell you what, packing lunches for my child is the bane of my existence. So if I can be, and I know I'm not alone in that, so if I can be of any assistance, that's what I'm here for.
Peanut butter and jelly, peanut butter and jelly, chocolate milk, a Twinkie.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe a couple of Ahoy chips, Ahoy cookies, you know, and maybe like a Milky Way or
something.
Darling. That's perfect.
You sound like, I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going to say it on the air.
What? Like what?
Nothing. I'll tell you off the air.
Oh, fine. Okay.
I'll tell you off the air. But most schools don't even allow peanut butter anymore.
Well, so you can get them cashew butter.
They don't allow nut butter. They allow sunflower butter because it's not like a tree nut. You have to have tree. I know. You know what? For once, I agree with the roll of your eyes. And you know what? Let me preface that by saying I understand that if your child has a nut allergy, especially if it's life-threatening, you absolutely want your kid in a nut-free school. I totally get that. I absolutely support that.
You have so many pictures in my mind.
I don't even know. You know what? This is a serious topic, darn it. You're a dirty old man. We're moving on.
No. I'm thinking about...
What are you thinking
every
about?
Every school has a bunch of nuts.
Oh.
And they go from age of kindergarten to eighth grade.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That's what I've done. Now who has the...
And Sandra Murillo, in her new segment, Sandy's View, she's going to be talking about helper service dogs for farmers and those that live in rural areas. You like how I just kept on moving?
I do.
There you go.
We're going to get started with Terry Longo. That. You know, you're blushing.
No. Even you can see that?
No, even I can see it.
You know
it.
What?
That's how brilliantly red it is.
I have a blushing problem.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. I used to get teased so much when I was like in elementary school. And then, of course, it makes me blush even more. But I still do. I'm a blusher for sure.
But she gets warm.
I do. Well, it's so bad.
We'll take a break, and Terry Longo is going to join us next.
I think the best thing about Freedom Place is the camaraderie that you have with the people.
The living accommodations are wonderful. The food is phenomenal. I love the food. I would recommend Freedom Place.
Independent community living for the blind and visually impaired. Call 773-989-9800 or online at freedmanplace.org. Freedman Place. It's a great place to live.
Well, it's almost that time again to start thinking about the little ones going back to school so that mom has some sanity back in her life again when she's got the house to herself after dad takes off to the office or wherever his employment may be. We are at the Chicago Lighthouse introducing a program. Actually, it was introduced a couple of years ago about a preschool program that really is... It's fascinating to me, and it's unique, and I think you'll appreciate it, too. Terry Longo is joining us, and welcome, first of all, to the show. It's nice to have you here.
Thanks, Bill.
You can tell us a little bit about the brand. It started in, 2013, and it's a blended preschool, right?
Sure, yeah. Yes, we are a blended preschool. Our preschool is a component of our educational department here at the Lighthouse, which includes a child development center and also a Birth to Three program. So we've got kind of a spectrum there. And as you said, we launched in September of 2013 as part of Mira Emanuel's Preschool for All Ready to Learn initiative, and we're funded through a CPS grant. We are blended, as you mentioned, and
So what does that mean? So people know, maybe in the audience, that they don't understand what blended means.
Well, in our case, we have kids who have visual impairments, along with kids without visual impairments, and we think that our preschool, we feel it offers a unique opportunity for children to learn in the same setting, and I think the blended environment instills sensitivity and a respect for diversity. So we kind of infuse that at an early age. And
I can't agree with you more because, I think that over the years, that was the problem with people who had a disability, that the generations previous didn't quite understand about it, and they looked with a jaundiced eye at it. But by doing something like the blended program, the little ones learned from the beginning that, hey, listen, everybody can do the same thing.
Absolutely.
It's just they're doing it a different way.
That's right. So, they just learn in a different way, and we've observed that. We had six visually impaired children in among the total enrollment was 19 last year,
right.
And six of them, so a third approximately,
sure.
Were visually impaired. And I think the kids who weren't visually impaired just understood that, these children just learn in a different way.
They're like sponges. they'll absorb it and
absolutely.
They'll accept it. You know, and that's the thing. They don't have the built-in prejudice yet. You know, that's the way I look at it. And there's a lot of changes that the Lighthouse is doing for that program and for the CDC in general, right?
Yes.
With the construction and everything.
Yes, construction
seems
to be our middle name these days, and the preschool is not immune to it. We're adding a 600 square foot solarium this summer to the preschool.
Uh-huh.
It'll expand our capacity and also give the children an outside playground for our historically inclement weather.
Sure.
That, you know, visits us every fall, winter, and spring.
It vacations from elsewhere in the world and comes here to spend
That's
the
right.
winter with us.
Exactly. So we're excited.
But you know what?
That.
That's got to be so cool for them to be able to see it snowing outside and they're inside playing, learning things, and that sort of thing. So
it's going to be great. I can't wait for it to be completed.
And how about the playground? That is finished, and it's up and being used already, right?
Oh, yes. And you know, even though we're a literacy-based program, we always recognize the importance of play. And that playground you mentioned is a result of a collaboration between Kaboom and Chicago Area Lions Clubs, mm-hmm. Preschool parents, Lighthouse volunteers, Lighthouse staff. So it's a wonderful adaptive playground, it's soft landing surface,
sure.
kind of a rubbery cork surface, and it's getting a quite a workout, not only from the preschool, but our Child Development Center kids use it as well.
Jesse White, the Secretary of State, took a look at it, and he was very impressed with it.
Yes.
Very, very much
yeah.
so.
Yeah, you know. He helped us with, you know, getting the funding for that.
Sure. But it's so good. Now, you have openings in the preschool.
We do, Bill. We graduated 11 students last month, and it was a cap and gown
Was
graduation.
It really?
It was great.
Oh,
yeah,
that had
really
to be so cute.
It was great. Even at the end, we had the kids. They needed some coaching, but we had the kids flip up their
mortar boards.
Yeah. And it was fun. It was great. So I think there's some pictures of that on our website if people wanted to visit. Just to kind of see what it looked like. But, yeah. 11 students graduated last month, so we're recruiting new students for the fall. And, you know, anyone interested can just call the reception desk here at the Lighthouse, 312-666-1331,
mm-hmm.
and ask about it. We do have, because we're a CPS grant, we do have some admission criteria.
Okay.
The school is free. If you meet the criteria for admission, and it's low income,
okay.
it's blindness or visual impairment, or at risk. So,
what does that mean?
Yeah, at risk means that the children ages 3 to 5 years old, they're from families who earn less than the federal poverty level.
Sure.
And we use the National Free Lunch Index to determine that.
I see. Okay.
All right. And then the kids born to women less than 20 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
From single parent households or from two parent households where both parents work.
Mm-hmm.
Kids 3 to 5 years old where a language other than English is spoken at home.
Sure.
And of course, they have to be Chicago residents.
They reside in the city of Chicago. And again, they just have to call the main number at the Lighthouse, 312-666-1331. How is this CDC program going for the older children? You know?
It's going very well. We're in our extended school year, our
right.
summer session this year. We have 10 enrollees, but every day it seems like we have parents coming in, school administrators and teachers coming in to visit our program to see if it's an appropriate
sure.
placement for their children.
Do they have to understand, too, that the school districts that they live in, if they live outside of the city, they have to provide funding for them so that the students can come here?
That's correct. Whether it's Chicago or a suburban school district, there's a tuition, a per diem that, you know, rolls into
sure.
a tuition, and that covers all the costs of providing the services that are indicated in the IEP.
Sure.
As always, we're seeing children with multiple disabilities,
right.
Blindness being, you know, one of them, of course, but we're seeing more kids with autism. lately. So our, you know, we have an adaptive behavioral program, and our paraprofessionals and our teachers are receiving in services and training in that. So
what's like the student teacher ratio?
The student teacher ratio is always high. In our elementary classroom, it's one on one. So we have four students. We have one student there who's on a G-tube and requires a nurse, a full-time nurse, who's also a paraprofessional. Then we have a teacher and we have two aides. So it basically four students and four adults. It's not quite as high in our high school class, but it's nearly that much.
And you know what? I got to give so many kudos to the teachers down there for the patience they have and how well they work with the students that come into the program.
Very dedicated.
Because I think they get a lot. I think the teacher gets as much as the student, if not more, out of the program because of their dedication and everything else. They're just so willing to help.
Yeah, it's definitely a family environment. Yeah. I mean, it's very much. I'm, you know, just as you know, retired as chief operating officer about a year ago.
Wink, wink.
Not quite retired, but I'm filling in this summer as the interim principal. We have a new principal coming on board next month, and. And so I'll be back to my consultant job, but we have a really dedicated staff there.
That's terrific. So again, if parents would like to sign up for the preschool program, they should call our main number, which is 312-666-1331, and they'll have to meet the criteria. Can you give the criteria one more time so that people will know?
Got to be residents of Chicago. The kids, you know, age 3 to 5 years old. If they're already five, they're too old. They would go into a kindergarten program.
Okay.
But they're from families who earn less than the federal poverty level, as indicated on the National Free Lunch Index. So it's sort of a combination of how many kids you got, how much money you make, that type of thing.
Right.
Kids, now these are or. These are all, you know, they're not and. You don't have to satisfy each one of these. Born to women less than 20 years old, single-parent households, or two-parent households where both parents work.
Right.
At home, speak languages other than English. And so those are primarily it, you know, Chicago residents.
Sure. Is food provided for the daytime students, you know,
absolutely.
That stay for the whole day?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, there's a lunch included in that. And there's also healthy snacks for the morning and afternoon kids.
Good.
We started out with a half day program, you know, with morning or afternoon.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, much like it was when we went to school. Yeah,
exactly. Right. But then we saw the need for a full day program, and with the help of our congressman, we got that approved by the Chicago Public Schools. And so now we're primarily a full day program, and I should mention that the you had mentioned teacher student ratios before. In the preschool, it's 10-1. So we have a Type 4 certified early childhood teacher, and we also have a certified paraprofessional. We had 19 kids, so we had 19 kids and two adults. If we go over 20, we'll add another adult.
Now let me ask you about transportation. Does CPS provide transportation, bus transportation?
They do not.
To the lighthouse? So the parents have to make sure that they get the children here or have a way to get the children to the lighthouse.
Correct. Now, we do have care. It's somewhat limited, but we do have care offered for a nominal cost before and after school.
Okay.
So if that helps parents, you know, meet their schedule obligations, then we have that available to them.
That's great. Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot. I hope we can interest some people to get involved in the program, and those pictures on the website have got to be worth their weight in gold alone, just watching them throw the mortar boards up in the air. You
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
Terry Longo, interim principal of the education department and facility here at the Chicago Lighthouse. If you, again, would like your child to participate in the blended preschool program, it is a wonderful way to make sure that the young people in your life get the right foot ahead and start to realize that we may do things a little differently, but we're all the same. Give us a call at 312-666-1331. I'm Bill Jurek. This is The Beacon. We'll be back with more after this.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1-2-1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're still blushing.
I know. It really does go. And, you know, sometimes it'll happen. I'll be working with a client and they'll have something to say and I'll have to voice for them.
Yeah.
And 100% of the time I blush. Like, I don't know. I am a professional woman who has been doing my job for a long time and I do it very well. And yet I sit there and when my deaf client is something they want to sign that I then need to translate into English, I blush and they see it. Right. They see it. They see me blushing.
They get a biggest kick out of it, too.
Oh, I feel like I'm like 8 years old again. So ridiculous.
So tell me, what is a good lunch for a child? Not the Twinkies and the sandwiches.
Yes.
And chocolate.
Well, what? So making school lunches for me, and I'm very guilty of not making good school lunches because it takes effort and time, and it's very early in the morning
right.
because I never want to do it the night before because I'm always too exhausted. So here's some good ideas that are pretty easy and practical to put in your to put in your kids' lunch. So for back to school, we've got, and this is from, there's a website called 100daysofrealfood.com. I recommend you check it out. It's not a vegan website, but it is all unprocessed food ideas, and it's very expansive. So it's a very cool website. So this is just a very small sampling of what she provides as a sample for back to school lunches. So we could do hard-boiled eggs. We could do whole wheat pita instead of bread. You can do whole wheat pita with, you know, and then put your topping of choice on there. Yes. Would you
like
to interject?
Actually sounds good. Yeah,
it is quite good. Yeah. It is quite, like Reese really likes tuna. And so I'll often make her tuna and put it in a whole wheat pita, which she actually really enjoys.
How cool is that?
Yeah. And it's just a better option than, you know, than highly processed bread. And then you can do sun butter, or if your school does allow peanut butter or almond butter, you can choose that. And, you know, just have them slathered on apples or celeries, things like that, which, packed with protein and healthy and full of energy for the rest of the day.
How about apple slices with caramel?
Well,
I know.
Delicious, yes, for sure. For a kid's lunch, I can't advocate it because, you know, they need their little bodies need energy to get through the day. Build your own pizzas. So, again, you can kind of go back to the whole wheat pita and slice it up and then put some shredded cheese on the side with a little bit of tomato sauce and maybe some turkey pepperoni or something along those lines.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they can kind of do, because, you know, there's a lot of parents will kind of resort to Lunchables because they're very easy.
Right.
But they're
boy,
so
are they high in sodium and everything
they're
else.
They're just packed with everything you don't want your little guy to be eating. Right. So, you know, you can kind of recreate the Lunchable feel with unprocessed whole real foods.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay. You can do plain yogurt and then add some real fruit and honey. So you could plain yogurt with blueberries or raspberries, strawberries, and then mix that up with honey or, you know, pure maple syrup, sweetener of your choice. If you do want to do meat, Applegate Farms makes a meat that doesn't have nitrates in it. It's, you know, it's as unprocessed as lunch meat can be.
But does it have flavor?
It does. I've actually had it. Yeah. Right. It's very, very tasty. A lot of the, and I'll just kind of segue to this, a lot of lunch meats that you do buy either pre-sliced or even at the deli counter, they're loaded with nitrates, which are carcinogens. So I avoid them altogether, but Applegate Farms has a good lunch meat that is not, that is nitrate free.
Okay.
So that's a good one to recommend. You can do veggies and hummus. You know, I don't know how many kids love hummus, but some do. Or you can make whole wheat pasta like the night before and then, you know, put it in a little hot thermos for the next day and you got a very wholesome lunch.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So those are my tips. If only I could follow them myself, we'd be in real good shape. But, you know, it's a start.
And it's good. Are you going to post all that information?
I will post all that information.
On our website, which is?
It's our Facebook site, which is Chicago Beacon. And we also have a Twitter account now. I don't know if I told you that.
No.
I've started tweeting. So at Chicago Beacon on Twitter.
You widow bird, you.
I know,
you started tweeting. And, of course, you can get her recipes right right here on the radio
every
week. If you listen, this is a way to get you to listen. And don't forget, we repeat the show Wednesday night. So if you are not techno savvy for the rest of the stuff, you can hear the recipe again Wednesday night.
You bet.
And we'll be back with more Sandra Murillo, I think, right?
That is correct.
Right after this.
Ooh, that smells good.
Well, look who came out of his man cave. Game must be over.
Oh, babe, just checking on you. And dinner.
Well, your stomach clock is fast. It's going to be a while. How about some celery?
Nah, that's rabbit food. There must be something good in here.
Well, why don't you... why don't you...
You okay?
Oh,
honey!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke. Many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Well, that was a nice segment.
That sounded very tasteful.
Wow.
Really, and now that's coming from me.
Yes. You know, you've actually been very supportive of this new little, well, I guess it's not new now. It's been a couple of months, but you've been very supportive, and I appreciate that.
Well, I have a fiancé who will beat me over the head if I eat things I'm not supposed to
eat.
Good
for her.
She makes sure she watches what I eat, and you know what? I am glad.
Yeah.
I am glad because not often people...
Watch
out for each other, you know, and that's a good thing.
Well, my husband's going to the doctor next week for the first time, I mean, since I've known him. So it's good. I finally had to call and make the appointment for him. But you know what? As long as I get there and get it done, you know, we got to make sure that you guys are going to be around for a long time.
Just tell them one thing.
What?
Clean underwear.
Oh, God. Too much information.
Now, it's time to hear. You know, we have all different types of service animals, right?
Yes, we do.
That's another thing that I'm going to talk about.
Oh, goodness sakes. Okay.
But I'll do it after the segment.
Okay.
Because Sandra Murillo actually covers an interesting topic that I didn't know anything about. And we have to stop in at her place. She's got a blog, you know, in our Beam.
Yes, she does.
Newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it on our website as well. So you can go to Sandy's View. And we're going to go to Sandy's View, the oral version of it right now.
Good morning, everyone. This is Sandy from Sandy's View. And we always like to introduce interesting guests and programs here on the Beacon. You have all probably heard about service dogs, how they assist people with all types of disabilities, you know, guide dogs, dogs that assist people who are deaf, dogs that assist people in wheelchairs. But now a unique program in Missouri is actually providing dogs to farmers with disabilities so that these dogs can assist individuals with any type of disabilities. Joining me today are Jackie Ellenbrand and Elda Owens. Jackie is the founder of Farm Dog USA. And then Elda will be speaking with us a little later about her experiences with her service dog. Jackie, thanks for joining us. Jackie and Elda, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience today.
Jackie, please tell us a little bit about the program, when it started, a little bit of background.
Okay. Well, I developed this program in 2005, and PHARM, PHARM, stands for Pets Helping Agriculture in Rural Missouri. Mm-hmm. And this program not only trains dogs for farmers in Missouri, but other states as well. And what our program does is we train dogs to help farmers that may have a disability or an illness, and they want to stay active and independent on the farm. So we use border collies for herding purposes only. Mm-hmm. So if they have cattle or sheep or goats, need some help along those lines, we use border collies to help them to herd. We also use Labradors or lab mixes that we save from rescues and shelters, and we train them with service skills, with things such as helping with mobility, retrieving tools, carrying buckets, Some dogs can even open gates, which is kind of a handy thing for farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to work with what the farmer's needs are and train the dog for them specifically.
And, yeah, going to Elda's story. Elda, again, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Very glad to be here.
Wonderful. Tell us a little bit about yourself, about your disability, and how your dog has helped you. And a little about your dog, of course.
At the age of 10, well, I was born and raised on a farm, mm-hmm. and we had cattle, hogs, sheep, chickens, ducks, and my father had little row crops. But my duty was to take care of gathering eggs and one thing and another. But at the age of 10, all the climate, the temperature, humidity, and everything was perfect. And in the northwest part of Missouri, histoplasmosis mm-hmm. developed on the droppings of chickens and starlings and pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
And I contracted that. And at the time, they thought I had whooping cough, and about 3 months later, I was at taking piano lessons, mm-hmm. and suddenly, I had a lot of black spots, and I couldn't read the notes, and I really was all just, you know, like when you get sunspots, you just can't see,
sure.
you just see all these colors and black spots, and the teacher was upset with me, and I had no idea what was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning was Sunday morning, and I was sitting at the end of the bed, hugging the window, trying to read my quarterly, and my father saw me from the kitchen, and he asked me to come to the table and read, and I could not read.
Mm.
I couldn't see it. So took me to the local eye doctor as soon as possible, and then he said, oh, he was in shock. He's like, she's going blind.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent me to St. Joe to a specialist. The specialist referred me to KU in Kansas.
Sure.
And I went through a series of tests, and it came up that I had histoplasmosis.
Mm-hmm.
It scarred my lungs heavily like a smoker and went to the optic nerve.
Mm. Which,
so,
is, you know,
with,
affected your vision.
My being young and my faith in God and my parents' faith in God, they were devastated because the only option was a medication that would shorten my life to be maybe 22 or 25,
mm-hmm.
or to go home, and they were pretty sure I'd probably just go ahead and go blind.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I leaned forward, and I put my hands on their shoulders, and I said, it's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
I was only 10, but, you know, I knew it'd be all right.
That's wonderful.
And I didn't go blind.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was a real trooper in making me do my homework, and I would memorize and study. And then a few years later, that what happened in 63. And in 1983, Dr. Felix Sabataz came to Kansas City specializing in histoplasmosis.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and saw him, and he said, it went dormant, and you are very lucky. But he said, I said, but I see.
Yeah.
He said, you only see what you've memorized. You really don't see.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, when you were little, you know, I was in sixth grade when that happened. He said, you had memorized your shapes of your letters, the eights, the sixes, my landscape where I live. I memorized, you know, like the dip in the pasture or the tree that was not really a tree, you know, might have been broken off, and I thought it looked like
sure.
mm-hmm. livestock or something.
Sure.
And then I made it through high school and everything, graduated, and I had a good, caring girlfriend. She was an angel. And I couldn't get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And finally I went to, it's kind of like Kelly Girls. It was called Snelling and Snelling.
Okay.
And I paid to get my job.
Mm-hmm.
I filled out an application, but I lied.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write on there that I was legally blind.
Sure, sure.
But in those days, this is another thing that I would like to make clear. In those days, in 63, and through there, they told me I was legally blind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that's questioned because I can see, so I would say appropriately visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it's because I memorize, but I got a job. And about 2 weeks into my job, my employer wanted to know if I needed glasses. Yeah. And I said, no, I can't. I'm legally blind.
Yeah.
And he was astounded. He said, why didn't you tell me? I said, would you have hired me?
Mm-hmm.
He said, probably not.
For sure.
So I asked for a chance to try to do my job, and I did it. And the wonderful love of my life, my husband of 43 years, we got married, and he brought me back out to my rural, local home farm area, and we rented a little farmhouse, and then eventually bought our own farm and have started up our operation out here. We got 50 cow-calf operation. And had two wonderful grown children now that live with Mom memorizing their, well, I've memorized Jake's tennis shoes and Kate's ponytail, you know.
Right,
the way your
definitely.
Kids move. That's how
definitely.
I knew what they were and doing out there. And then in 2008, I developed breast cancer. And I had to have chemo, double mastectomy, and that kind of pretty knocked my socks off. I was a pretty tough lady until then, and my daughter, being a grown mother herself, she said, Mom, there are programs out there, and I know, my girlfriend knows of a lady who has something to offer to you.
Okay.
So that's when I was introduced to Jackie Allenbrand. That was 2010. I'd had my chemo and everything, surgeries all done in 2009. And I was introduced to Jackie, and she came out and done a farm assessment. We first sat at the table and talked about what I, what, well, she explained to me what the dog could do, because I had no idea.
Oh,
I didn't know anything about a border collie. And then we went out, and she they walked around, and they held up a piece of paper to see how big numbers I needed to see some things and what I could see or couldn't see on my farm, you know. Because my depth perception is poor.
I see.
And so after her assessment, and she, her trainer had a puppy, and she asked me if I'd be interested. I said, well, yeah, I'll give it a try. I didn't know how, you know, with my eyes, how this dog was going to help me. I didn't understand the ability that the dog had to offer me. Well, she was 9 weeks old when I brought her home. The trainer told me, now, you call me night or day, and I called him quite a bit night or day because she cried. She didn't want to be in the kennel, and she made me feel like I was important again. It gave me the drive that I wanted to take care of her. I wanted to see what she could do. How we could, I could be better.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's so wonderful. Well, Elda, thanks so much for your time and telling us your story, and I wish you the best of luck. Now, going back with Jackie, how can people get involved? You know, if farmers want to find out about these dogs, for example, Jackie, or how can people find out more about your organization?
Okay, well, I usually route people to our website, of course, which is www.pharmdog.org, farmdog.org, and they can contact us by telephone at 1-660-235-0128.
That's wonderful. Well, Jackie and Elda, thanks so much for your time and for joining us and telling us about this wonderful program. The best of luck to you both.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me. I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Do you have a soapbox that you're about to stand on? Should I dust it off for you?
I have a soapbox that
okay.
I'm about to stand
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you do. I know that look on your face.
First of all.
Uh-oh. There's a first of all. Get comfortable.
Service dogs are there to provide just what the name says, a service.
Right.
You know, and under the ADA about a year ago, they passed this ruling that a dog is considered the official service dog, a service animal. Fine with me.
Sure.
That's perfect.
Right? Yeah.
And the rules have it that you cannot be asked for identification or anything of the sort. So that's good too, because that's, you know, that would be like a discriminatory
sure.
type of thing.
You can't ask people about their disabilities.
But
yeah, yes. There's always people
on the internet.
Oh, no.
There is a website or two that for X amount of dollars you can have them write you a prescription that you need an emotional dog.
Yep.
And what that does is destroys the whole purpose of having a service animal, because what you do is you get these foo-foo little bow-in-the-front dogs that are allowed on because they're precious to their mommy, don't want to let them alone, or leave them home or put them in the cargo bin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and or pay the extra $125
right.
that it costs to take a dog on the aircraft, you
right.
know, and then the dog has to be in a crate
carrier,
underneath
yep.
the seat,
yep.
you know, for landing and takeoff. So that is my big gripe, and that's the next thing I think we're going to work on, is to see how we can gingerly get around that issue.
Well, and that's, unfortunately, there's always going to be people who see an opportunity to take advantage, and there are just too many people in the world who see an opportunity to make a buck, mm-hmm. and ethics and morals aside, they're going to take it.
Oh, yeah. They
and
don't
ruin
care.
It for the rest
yep,
of...
Yep, they don't
of,
care.
No, they don't. And I'm not... In fact, I've heard that before, and it's not at all surprising, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it completely undermines the purpose of people who truly need service animals and have an animal that provides that. And, you know, Lincoln has been trained extensively. As have most official service, or all official service animals, mm-hmm. have been trained extensively to provide this service.
Right.
And to your point, you have this little, you know, boopy dog who, you know, is just mommy's little baby. And I've heard of people, you know, taking advantage of that.
And they do. And then, and not to mention the false harnesses and capes
right.
and everything else that are available for sale on the internet.
Which are just truly devious,
which
because at that point
yes.
you're just really trying to,
right.
to pull one over.
Right. So, you know, I mean, that's my thing.
I hear you. I'm with you.
So now we have to go to, speaking of deviant, no, I should say this. No.
Devious is
no,
what
no,
I said.
That, yeah, you said devious.
Yes.
You didn't say deviant.
No, I didn't.
Although, you know, you never know which word fits these two guys coming
right.
up over here.
I don't think deviant or devious would apply to either of them, personally.
It's time to head over to Tom's Corner. Mr. Brian Hawkins is going to reel the big guy in and tell us, I guess we're going to probably hear about road shows and everything else that's going on.
It's going to be wrapping up the road show season, right?
No, it's early yet. That won't happen until December.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
What's that segment called?
Tom's Corner.
Everyone, welcome in. It's Tom's Corner. I'm Brian Hawkins with Tom Persky. And Tom, we have a guest this morning, don't we?
We do.
Today, you want to talk about the elf.
The elf, right. Yeah. And before I introduce my guest, I just wanted to tell a little bit of a story that we talked about being at 1871, the technology startups
right.
in Chicago at the Merchandise Mart. For the Loud Steps program we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, I turned around the corner and I saw this orange, it looked like a little orange car. And somebody said, "That's a bicycle." Well, I about died because I was so excited. And I turned around and there's Anthony. So, Anthony, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
Anthony Vitaliano.
Right.
And
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your involvement in this new electric bicycle that is kind of blowing everybody's mind here.
Yeah, sure. So I'm an entrepreneur, business guy. I'm working out of 1871, working on various different projects, but one of them was bringing the ELF, which is a pedal and solar powered bike, to Chicago. Currently working with the CEO. They're manufactured in Durham, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, and I thought it would be, I like to do things that are very innovative and different and that help, you know, society and people.
Right.
So I thought this was a great, vehicle, you know, that would draw some interest. And it was so nice to be able to kind of bump into you at 1871 just by chance. And, you know, that's what goes on at 1871. You never know who you're going to connect with.
Exactly. Well, I'm a big bicycle enthusiast. I lost my ability to drive a car when I was 25. And so through my 30s and 40s and 50s, I used a bicycle not only for recreation, but to get places. And one thing I always thought about would be really cool would be have a bicycle that I could take to the store and had a big trunk.
Yeah.
And when you told me the new ELF has all these capabilities, maybe you can describe more of what the bicycle is like.
Yeah, I think, you know, the bike itself has a shell for protection, which is really unique. It's really a design that was 4 years in the making. Rob Carter, the CEO, you know, had a vision, and there's a lot of engineering that went into this vehicle. Like I said, 4 years before they were able to get the actual kind of first prototype done. And since then, they've manufactured about 500 of these vehicles, and primarily are being sold in the North Carolina area. But now they're looking to expand. And so part of my relationship with Organic Transit is really to bring the ELF to Chicago.
Right.
And, you know, expand. Hopefully interested in creating an assembly hub here so that they're actually manufactured here.
We would love to have that. And, of course, we had so many of our staff and employees here who are legally blind.
Unbelievable.
Who maybe could drive before, some that couldn't drive at all, actually climb into the ELF. And it's not like a regular bicycle seat. It's like almost like a recumbent bicycle where you're sitting in like a regular chair. And then your feet are out in front of you on the pedals.
Right.
And so you can pedal or it has a throttle. It has brakes. It has LED headlights. Mm-hmm. It's got tail lights, turn signals.
That's
it's
right.
Got the horn. Everybody likes
that a car has.
The horn. Yeah. Everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Bluetooth capabilities.
Yep.
So you can actually mount your iPhone right there on the handlebars if you need a GPS or you want to play some music while you're going.
That's right.
But it really feels like you're sitting like in a car, and then you can, as I was saying, you can pedal. Or you can use the motor, or you do a little bit of both. Like I was using the motor, and then I was synchronizing the motor with my pedal so I could feel I got my heart rate up a little bit, but I wasn't, like, killing myself.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the ELF. Yeah.
So seniors could use this, right?
Because
you don't have to balance. It's actually a three-wheeled vehicle.
Correct.
So seniors don't have to climb up on a bicycle anymore.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it gives people a lot of mobility that really had none prior to this, and of course the visually impaired, we were demonstrating it today, and the reaction is just amazing. It's just wonderful to see.
Yeah, I think people get all of a sudden the freedom and the independence. So, you mean I could, go to the store? It goes up to 20 miles. And, of course, they like the speed. And when you push it on the throttle, it goes to 20 miles an hour. And so they were yelling out some whoops screaming and as they felt that freedom. But I think the independence, I always say that when I – if I could, just some days just get on the vehicle and go over to the Jewel and get some milk or whatever.
Yeah, just not to have to ask somebody to take you. Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing. Or Sunday morning, I want to go to the bakery. Or, you know, just the normal things that come in life that we've all, who can't drive anymore, have been taken from us.
Right.
And that's really going to be interesting. And I think retirement communities is going to be another big area, too. Where,
yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. So we're glad to form a partnership, and it'd be great if we could be involved in somehow in getting some jobs for people. That's our mission here for the visually impaired.
Yeah, and I'm so glad to be able to be a part of that. You know, and I you do such wonderful work here. You know, I'm a native of Chicago, grew up just born and raised down the street from here. So, you know, it's my neighborhood. And it's funny how things kind of circle back. All the way back. Yeah. So it's just wonderful the work that you do here also.
Now, if you're Italian, does everybody come from Taylor Street?
Well, I think so. You know? At least we like to think so, right? Even if you don't, I think people say, I'm from Taylor Street.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've been living in Taylor Street since I moved back to Chicago. I lived in Arizona for 13 years, and I think I'm the only SKI on the mailbox in my neighborhood, so I guess they let one Polish guy
in. Okay.
So, thanks for coming. Yeah, Brian, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I just want to know what Elf retail for.
Well, it's got a base price of around $6,000.
Okay.
You can get it financed, you know, just like a car.
Mm-hmm.
So financing is available, so it's going to be very affordable if someone wants to purchase one.
I already calculated about $170 a month.
Yeah.
If you did 3 years or...
Yeah.
Probably
and
a little bit more.
I think they'll go more than that, too. So maybe 4 or 5.
Well, I'm in the market for a car.
Okay.
But with the car prices, this is looking pretty good to me right now.
Yeah.
No license plates, right?
No gas.
No insurance.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a bicycle, so that's what's really cool about it.
Right. Yeah, and the beauty is, Brian, is that you could take it any more places than you can drive a car. You know, because if you want to take it to the park, you can take it on the you know, bike it right up on the lakefront.
You did talk to the city about that, didn't you?
Yeah. So I've met with CDOT, got clearance on everything. It is classified as a bicycle, so you're able to wheel it up on a sidewalk to park it there. Mm-hmm. Anywhere a bike can be parked, you can park the Elf.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That looks serious good. Now, it's available now, so you can order it through the Lighthouse, or?
You can actually, I'm kind of like on the business development side, helping Organic Transit really kind of get into the marketplace here. So if somebody would like to order one, they can contact me, and I would kind of help assist, you know, in working with the factory to describe, you know, different features. They can demo it through me.
Mm-hmm.
So anything, because most people are going to want to ride it and test it before purchasing. So it's the only one in Chicago and probably within, you know, a few hundred miles of anywhere. So I'm going to be working very closely with Tom. You know, and
so I think we'll probably have like a demonstration day maybe on a Saturday.
Absolutely. We could set up so that, you know, anybody that's interested in Chicago that wants to come by and take a look at it, you know, it's going to be we'll see about keeping it here for a long time so that it's actually housed here. And that would be great because I know everybody wants to ride it.
Take it for a spin.
We'll have video on our YouTube channel.
Oh, that'll be good.
Currently, there is a video. It's called Rise of the Elf, and it's on YouTube.
I didn't know.
So if you go on YouTube and just on the search, do Rise of the Elf, you'll see a nice video of the CEO and people's comments.
Okay, awesome.
But we will soon. Luke's already downstairs
editing.
Yesterday. Yeah, he's editing. So good. We should be having our own video. So you go to youtube.com and then do CHI Lighthouse, and you'll see all of our videos of all of our technology.
Yeah.
So thanks again, Anthony.
All right.
And we'll,
Tom,
I'm sure
thank
we'll be
you.
Meeting
it's been
again.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Road shows?
We have September 10th is coming up for Vernon Hills. And then September 15th, we're looking forward to our Schaumburg show, which is one of our most popular shows in that is Tuesday, September 15th. Again, it starts at 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. It's an open house. It's free, open to the public, where we have over 200 different technology products and independent living aids on display. Mm. All of our staff will be there to help. If you have someone in your family who has vision loss, they can come and see what's new. And well, we may have the elf there that day. I'll have to announce that later. So thanks, Brian.
All right. Yeah, the elf, Brian. Electric, light, and fun. Thanks, Mr. Vitaliano, for coming and talking about it. He's Tom Persky. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. If your question is, how can someone who is blind enjoy the latest magazine writing and not have to pay a penny? Then the answer is Choice Magazine Listening. Every other month, we'll send you hours of stimulating, unabridged articles, short stories, and poetry from writers such as Russell Baker, Derek Walcott, Joyce Carol Oates, Bill Moyers, and Margaret Atwood. These free special speed cassettes are sent to anyone unable to read because of physical limitations. If you're interested, write today to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the necessary free Library of Congress talking book player. So write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Or call 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. Thank you.
Here we are.
So as I was saying, So a pretty good show, huh?
Oh, come on.
I like that recipe for lunch.
Yeah, you like that?
I like a lot of it's a very good idea.
Thank you. Thank you,
dear. Very, very good idea.
I will post it online so that you're all ready to whisk it away when you're ready to get those kiddos lunches together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mothers are smiling and
I know.
Kids are frowning
so
and who
happy.
Cares? Well, I'd like to say thanks to Dr. Janet Slick for supporting our program for 7 years.
No.
That we've been doing this.
Only seven?
Yeah, it's a good one. I did a count back at seven.
I thought we were going into eight. Well, I guess we are going into eight. Right?
Well, we are in our
I mean, it's
year.
Been almost we a decade. Like, we could say it's been almost a decade.
Just think, you were just a babe at arms.
I really was. I mean, my daughter really was.
Oh, she was.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, good. And then the folks at Friedman Place.
Yes.
With us as well.
Absolutely.
Every week. And that's Sandra Moreau. Nice contribution in Sandy's View.
It was a great segment this week.
And our associate producer on the program. And, of course, the one and only.
BH.
Brian Hawkins.
Yep.
Makes every program a masterpiece in the award.
That is something.
You just don't ask for more money.
Right.
I gotta say one thing.
What?
He has got himself a new position with us.
What?
Brian is no longer just Brian Hawkins. Brian is now assistant director of Chris Ring.
That is fantastic.
I meant to say that a couple of weeks ago.
Aww.
And it slipped my mind, and I don't want to let it slip it again.
Congratulations,
so kudos
Brian.
And congratulations.
You know what? Not a person in the world who deserves good things more than Brian.
Absolutely. He is a jewel with all he handles.
He really is.
And I was complaining about my stuff before. Well, he handles that every day.
And I don't think he complains about anything.
I don't think so. So that's going to do it for us. The Mighty House people are up next. They're probably going to build a bench. So we better get out of the
Why
way
not?
So he can get in here. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
We'll see you next week on The Beacon right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk.